Starting the recording right now.
Thank you, Ms. Lynn. And greetings to all on this Sunday Daylight Savings Time Day, of which I'm not sure what the savings exactly is, but we'll go with it. So here on the 8th of March, it was a beautiful day here yesterday, hopefully another beautiful day here in Chicago. So welcome to the Awakening Together Sunday Gathering. It is awesome to see everyone here and join in communion and love with each other. So let's just take a few minutes and introduce ourselves, say hi on the board, maybe let us all know where each of us are from, and just a little something about yourself if you want. So Lynn is going to be playing a song, welcome song, our usual welcome song, and she will be our admin today and music maestro, Lynn Johnson. And our reader today will be Barb DeWater. So let's take a few minutes, listen to some music, and welcome each other to the room.
You're my day.
Oh, thanks, Lynn. Wonderful little upbeat hit music there. Can always count on you for some amazing music. Well, hello, everybody. So awesome to see everybody here. I'd like to start with the statement of purpose for Awakening Together. We are a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize those limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. I love that. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self, with an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So there's the discernment that we all do. Rather than judging another's teaching or what they're reading from or how they're expressing isn't acceptable or isn't good enough or isn't okay for any reason, we still our minds to listen for truth. Rather than expecting others to adapt to what we want them to say and be, or other faiths to not exist or be different, we still our minds to practice actively hearing the truth so that we can connect, because we recognize that that connection and that oneness is far more important than being right. And that connection of love is far more important than anything else that would take the form of a judgment. So let's go on to our announcements real quick. Tao Te Ching Classes is a really amazing book. It's an amazing course. That's actually, you have an opportunity to register for that all the way until actually Tuesday, March 10th. And if you go to our website under classes, new classes that begin in March, it's a wonderful course. And you can click on that and register there. I've taken the course when I was going through the MPP earlier. It's a course that's towards the beginning of the curriculum. The class that I'm in, it's the validation class. We're actually almost finished with the entire MPP curriculum. About a year and a half. It'll be a little under a year and a half total that we will be together. It's been an amazing journey. Yeah, Tao Te Ching is all about ideas about, it's a book written for leaders originally to give guidance and insight to those that are leaders. And I look upon everyone here as a spiritual leader in their own way, if nothing more, a leader in their own life. And there's some great wisdom that it has about maintaining balance. Maintaining balance. It's amazing depth in the phrases and sections of that holy work, really, as I see it. And I'm not sure if we're actually still looking to lead somebody for the Thursday Contemplation Circle, Lynn. I could make that announcement as well. You can put on the board if we are or we are not. I don't really know. Also, a big announcement is that Regina will actually be in New Jersey on April 24th to the 26th. She will be presenting for 3 days. Now, this is a retreat entitled Living for Myself Without Confusion. Now, it's located in Morristown, New Jersey, and that's near Philadelphia. And there's a really beautiful historic site there called the Community House. And if you go into the website under events, you can click on the New Jersey event and see the house that it's actually going to be at. It's pretty amazing. And a lot of people are saying they wanted to spend more time with Regina on her, like, as a one-on-one teacher, etc. And this weekend will be a great opportunity to do that, because she will be the presenter for the entire Saturday night, all day, Friday night, all day Saturday, and then on the Sunday sessions as well. So, I'm not sure if you have any other announcements, Lynn, that I'm forgetting, but those are the ones I got from Regina. If there's anything you want me to announce as part of this recording or on the Sunday gathering here, let me know. And also to, again, announce our fall retreat in Colorado Springs, which we now have up and running as our website. And this is the stackable retreats where we have Bentino starting things out, moving with Regina, and then wrapping up with Jan Frazier. This is really the second year we'll be offering a retreat. So our first retreat was this last year in 2014, and this year, at the end of the year in the beautiful fall, right there in Colorado Springs at a beautiful retreat center, Franciscan Retreat Center, we will be having these three retreats all in a row. So check out the web pages we all got going and check it out. So let's just still our minds a moment and we'll move into an invocation prayer. Actually, before that, I've messed up the order. We are going to do an opening song by Lynn Johnson, who hopefully she has ready to go. Okay, opening song. Lynn Johnson, take it away. Okie dokie, Ms. Lynn. I'm going to play a song by Santana, which I really love, called Curacion, which means sunlight over water. And I'm going to treat that as our opening song. If I can get it to play, that is. Thank you. Okay, now let's move on to the invocation prayer for this morning. Let's take a moment and center ourselves. I give you to the Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release. Because I recognize that we will be released together. In this, I choose to see me in you, and to see no separation between me and you. In this, I know I am healed. That was beautiful. And now we're going to move on to the inspirational reading, and I asked Barb DeWater to do this. And as I was sort of contemplating, like, what would I be speaking about today, and what would be the subject, it was a day when I was going through, it was actually a fairly brief challenge, but it was still a challenge at the time it occurred, because it did create a ripple of upset in my consciousness. And it sort of became clear what the subject was going to be about, because it interrupted my feeling of love at the time that I had. The peace of my mind was interrupted by this experience, which was the trigger. But the interruption was because of the judgments that were in my mind and all of the associated thoughts that were with those judgments. And so I sort of just went into a still place and let my hand reach out to the shelf to pull a reading, and it pulled to a book called Power Versus Force, which many of you here know about, written by David R. Hawkins. And Barb's going to read this and also read a section from The Course in Miracles, and you may not immediately see a connection as to why this particular passage from this particular book was chosen to relate to the topic that I set for the day, which is to love completely, we can afford no judgments. But hopefully that will all be made clear by Holy Spirit as the service progresses. So, with any further ado, I will turn it over to you, Barb DeWater, for the readings that we have for today. Okay, take it away, Barb.
Good morning. I hope everyone can hear me okay. Great. Thanks, Regis. Thanks. David Hawkins, yes, I actually saw him once in Seattle. I drove up with a friend, and I found him to be a very loving man and very funny. This is, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Oh, Lynn, I don't have a dog, but I have 2 cats. A little easier to deal with in that respect. There's just a litter box. So let's do the reading for today. This is from Power Versus Force, a book I actually read several years ago. And this is a chapter on genius and the power of creativity. Recognized geniuses may be rare, but genius resides within all of us. There's no such thing as luck or accident in this cosmos. And not only is everything connected to everything else, no one is excluded from the universe. We are all members. Consciousness, like physicality, is a universal quality because genius is a characteristic of consciousness. Genius is also universal. It follows that which is universal is available to each and every person. The process of creativity and genius are inherent in human consciousness. just as every human has within himself the same essence of consciousness, so is genius a potential that resides within everyone. It simply waits for the right circumstance to express itself. Each of us has had moments of genius in our lifetimes, perhaps only known to ourselves or to those close to us. We suddenly make a brilliant move or decision, or say exactly the right thing at the right moment, without quite knowing why. Sometimes we might even like to congratulate ourselves for these fortuitous events, but in truth, we really don't know where they came from. Genius is often expressed through a change of perception, a modifying of context or paradigm. The mind struggles with an unsolvable problem, poses a question, and is open to receive an answer. The source that this answer comes from has been given many names, varying from culture to culture and time to time. In the arts of Western civilization, it's traditionally been identified with the Greek goddesses of inspiration called the Muses. Those who are humble and grateful for illumination received tend to continue to have the capacity to access genius. Those who credit the inspiration to their own ego soon lose this capacity, or are destroyed by their success. High power, like high voltage, must be handled with respect. Genius and creativity, then, are subjectively experienced as a witnessing. It's a phenomena that bypasses the individual self or ego. The capacity to finesse genius can be learned, though often only through painful surrender. When the phoenix of genius arises out of the ashes of despair, after a fruitless struggle with the unsolvable. Out of defeat comes victory. Out of failure, success. And out of humbling, true self-esteem. The second reading. A connected thought about true source of the Muses and genius. Because even the most genius plan, because even the most genius plan that my mind has, even the most ingenious or genius plan that my mind has ever come up with can fail. We need to be reminded from lesson 135 of The Course in Miracles that a healed mind does not plan. It carries out the plans that it receives through listening to wisdom that is not its own. It waits until it has been taught what should be done, and then proceeds to do it. It does not depend upon itself for anything except its adequacy to fulfill the plans assigned to it. It is secure in certainty that obstacles cannot impede its progress to accomplishment of any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. That's the end of my reading. Turning it back to Jay.
Thank you, Barb. That was a beautiful reading. Thank you for your thoughtful words. And so to kind of take this to the next step and talk about what was inspiring me to bring this subject up was an experience I had that day, or was it the prior day? It was either that day or the prior day, where I had just completed a part of, I'm a programmer, I program database systems for companies, and I had just completed a particularly challenging part of a project that I'm working on. Actually, he'd completed it the prior week, and I was going back in to do some more work on it, and I was moving a few things around, and I realized I hadn't backed up my work from the prior time. So I proceeded to immediately go to back up my work. Now, right at that instant, the system crashed. Right when I was going to back it up, that precise instant, and it auto-restarted the program, and the form that I had spent several hours of what I had dubbed genius work creating was gone. It was gone. And Dub, I have to say, I thought of you because of how often you preach about the perfection of how everything occurs. And I thought to myself, hold on a minute here. This is too precisely timed. Of all the moments that it could crash, that exact moment, causing it was almost as if it was orchestrated so that it would occur just like that. So I would I would lose that 3 or 4 hours of work, and is divinely orchestrated, truly. And someone's writing sound on the board. Can everyone hear me okay? I just want to do a sound check here real quick. Okay, so we're all good. You know, this wasn't just any work. This was truly what I'd consider genius work. And now I can see why the Holy Spirit guided me to put my hand up on this book and to seemingly randomly open to this page that Barb just read about genius. And the true nature of genius, not the kind of genius that we get prideful of, right? Because this work of genius was, I'm actually going to write a technical article in the field that I program in on a blog, because I think other people might find this solution that I came up with very useful. And I'm going to recreate what I did, etc. But it's like if you create poetry, or you do have a stroke of genius, and you're really like, wow, this is amazing, and you write it down, and then you lose it. How can you recreate poetry? It's like the thought, like, what is gold is gone, and what is gone is lost. And then that was the space that I was in, and just like saying to myself, oh my God, this is gone. I can't believe this is gone. I can't believe this is gone. This was brilliant. This is like one of the coolest things I've done. It's gone. It's gone. I can't believe this is gone. This is poetry. It's gone. I was just like sticking with that. And I finally let it go because of the divine timing of it. It was a little too obvious to like, okay, there's a lesson here for you, Jay. You need to look at what you did to yourself here, how you set up yourself for suffering here. And so the thought came to me, what enables us to love completely? Is it our own genius that enables us to love completely? You know, I think not. The true genius is the genius that Hawking was speaking of inside this excerpt from this chapter on genius and the power of creativity. And I'm very grateful for Holy Spirit to guiding me to this specific section of this specific book. Because it's a fun thing you can do when you want guidance. Just look at the bookshelf, let your hand pull the book, and just open it. And it saves so much time and research to just do it that way, to get the exact section you need to hear. And it relates perfectly to what's going on. So, you know, when I think about it, is it my own decision-making process, my judgments, my decisions, my quote-unquote genius, that I'm proud of? The key there is that it's like you're trying to prove something. You're trying to be trying to do something well. You're trying to succeed. You're trying to excel. You're trying to look good. You're trying to be impressive. And all of these things, of course, as we're taught, are based on lack. There's something that I'm not that I have to try to prove myself to be. And as Hawkins was teaching, the true genius that flows through us doesn't actually come from us. You know, and it always comes from a change of perception, which is what the key in the third paragraph of what he talked about. Genius is often expressed through a change in perception. What is the only thing that can change our perception? It's surrender. Complete surrender. It's almost as if we're just along for the ride. We're witnessing what's occurring. You know, and it's so true that when we have a feeling of peace, these little things we've set up prior in our life, these little proofs we're trying to create, little, in my case, it's oftentimes some little Easter egg, some little time bomb I've set up for myself prior that I didn't know at the time was going to set me up to fail, set me up to, I shouldn't use the word failure, that's not really what I'm trying to say, set me up for a fall, set me up for suffering. And it was like the ego then used it at a precise moment, or maybe it was just the Holy Spirit using it at a precise moment. And I think the Course talks about this, striking when you're at your most vulnerable moment so that you will then react. See, it was timed perfectly so that I would lose that peace of mind. Now, that setup was days prior. That little prideful moment of Jay thinking in his mind that he did something really cool and special and how awesome I am was set up days prior. Now, I didn't recognize that it was an act of separation the time I did it, right? It was an unconscious thing. It only became conscious when that 3 or 4 hours worth of what I dubbed as genius work was erased, was gone, was wiped out. And I felt something was taken from me. By a force beyond my control, which, of course, I am not a victim of the world I see, etc. But this is what I was going through. And what I realized is I started to dig into, you know, the thought immediately came to me, this is what interferes, this is what breaks the feeling of love. It's what breaks it. The attainment and maintenance of a continuous state of peace and love is my only goal. That's what I want. I don't want to experience the disruption of that, because that is what interferes with who I am. That's what's the illusions, the judgments. So I view it all as a process of discovery, where I can discover and root out all these areas where these judgments still occur, and so I can allow them to be let go of and surrender. And I was thinking how judgment is always an act of pushing away. Because when I'm in that prideful moment, other people aren't doing what I'm doing, only me. But whereas love is an embracing, it's a pulling toward, it's an encompassing. Just like the lessons in the Course that say, my holiness blesses the world, my holiness enfolds and encompasses everything I see. So the ego, the body-mind system, you know, attack, we use it for pleasure and we use it for pride. And this is what is taught to us in Holy Scriptures. You know, this is why we see violence and sex on TV is so popular, because we use the body for attack, which is the violence, and for pleasure, which is the sex, or the sensory, any form of sensory pleasure. This is the body mind, this is what we use it for. And in my case, it was pride that came very clearly into my awareness. And I think it's not a matter of getting down on yourself for having caught yourself in the pride, so much as it is just simply observing it and saying, wow, and witnessing it and letting it just be and bringing the light of consciousness to it. And I image, you know, when I do something that's genius or good, good as I deem, as I judge good, as like worthy, right? I did good. I did a great job. What a good boy am I. How can I do that in a way that's just an allowing it to flow? It's like a sandcastle that I build, and I just let it be. And the joy of it is in the creating of it, not in the end accomplishment of it. My girlfriend's son had a loss of a Minecraft world. A friend of his came over and actually inadvertently corrupted and caused to be deleted his entire Minecraft world, which he'd spent over 3 months working on. And so I kind of felt like, wow, my little 3 hours of work was nothing compared to the 3 months of effort that of genius creativity that this kid put into creating his Minecraft world, all of which was destroyed. And I was talking to him about like what what we can find the pleasure in is the pleasure in doing it, the pleasure in, you know, creating it, which for me is advice for myself as well. You know, the joy is in the creation of it. And then the ego wants to come in and act as an insert into eternity and say, I did that, now we're going to be prideful of it and turn it into a belief. And that's exactly what the ego does, is it takes an experience and turns it into a belief. Oh, look at this genius thing I did. Breaks on, stop everything. Okay, I believe I'm now a genius. You see, that's how that happens. And then you set yourself for a fall, either when that gets deleted, or you do something silly, which you're going to do. You're never going to be genius all the time, every instant of every day. It's never going to happen. So these beliefs are all just setups for future suffering. That's all they are. So it's true that we can do things that are genius, absolutely inspired by the universe, by that muse, as Hawking's talked about. But then it's up to us to just let it go. Let it be. And let it live if it is to live, just like the song that Lynn just played. If it's to grow, it will grow. If it's to die, it will die. If this beautiful thing that was just created by the muses in cooperation with the willing spirit of my body mind that brought a light to the world for 5 minutes, then it was meant to only be for 5 minutes. Or maybe it was meant to be for 200 years. We don't know. But in any case, it's all temporary anyway. So the returning of my mind to the space of love instead of pride and letting go of that judgment is the choice to maintain the connection of love, to maintain the continuous flow of that loving connection. And another point is that pride and that judgment is never ever shared with another. It's always just for me, which is so opposite to love. So opposite to love. Love is shared with others. You know, if I'm trying to prove something, you know, it's there to make me feel good about myself in an ego sense that's separate and apart from another. And of course, that thing that I'm using to make myself feel good is temporary, so that in and of itself is another setup to fail another disappointment, which then the ego tries to turn into another challenge to get it right the next time. And that continues until there's a bodily death. And the mind is never free. The mind is never acknowledged to be free. In fact, the mind is already free, but it's never acknowledged to be free, because that's the game. Never acknowledge the truth.
Uh-oh, I guess Jay was ascended into paradise. He was in the Minecraft world and it was destroyed. There he is, back from paradise. What did you see there, Jay? Tell us now.
Oh my God, I just entered the eternal life of heaven for a moment, and I'm back now from the land of eternity. That was amazing. Wow. I was ascended into light. No, actually what happened was, right as I was talking about things being temporary, my Paltalk messenger decided to just log me out. You know, and what was so cool is that I did not even have the slightest loss of peace, and I was so happy to see that. Just simply observe that I've been involuntarily logged out of Paltalk, and I proceeded to log back in, and here I am. So, yes, indeed, perfect demonstration. You know, and it's this, what I was talking about is these things that we set up to prove to ourselves, to make us feel good about ourselves, are themselves temporary, which are themselves setups, which the ego then tries to use to get it better next time, etc. And it's an endless cycle until the body-mind decays, and then we have to keep trying to not wake up to the truth. So it's all an action of trying to get us to not see what's already there, a game of mirrors. And this idol of pride, this stone brick of pride that we put in, which Chogyam Trungpa, cutting through spiritual materialism, pride can come into a spiritual community just as easily as it can come into a workplace community. And it's so important just to recognize it and to bring that love and to recognize that no equality exists. When pride is there, there's no equality. I am better than you, as the Joker says from Batman. You know, it's not the equality. In love, there's equality. In love, there's extension. In love, we have equal partners sharing, willing to let go, and there's no sense of loss. You know, in the Tao Te Ching, in verse 33, it says, knowing others is intelligent. Knowing yourself is enlightened. And, of course, teaching in with that, with the Course in Miracles, myself is you. I see me in you. The source of genius, the source of, is the same as the source of love. Because what genius did it take for me to move my hand on the shelf to pull out just the right quote from a 400-page book? That was a muse. That was a something that was beyond my mind. That wasn't in my intellect. That was from a perspective higher. And that is what gets my perspective to shift, is in the surrendering of the self-will and allowing of the higher will, that truth, that already existing reality, to come in. So the true genius is within us all. And just as Hawking talks about, every single person can have genius. And what is the most genius solution to every problem? It's one, as was talked about here in the quote, in the reading, it was one that has the best interest of all in mind, that serves the plan of the greater good. That was from the Course in Miracles. That is the greatest genius. And that is the healed mind. And that is the mind that has surrendered pride. You can still create those great Minecraft levels. You can create those great programs. You can create those great solutions to problems, and even people problems. You know, like getting everyone together at the right time. Mothers, fathers, people dealing with our manager at work. You know, all these complex needs, all these needs that people have. What's the only force that can bring all of our needs into one cohesive harmony? And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the force and intelligence of love that serves the plan that has the interest of all in mind from the very beginning. That is my cousin Jim calling. And I feel that love for everyone here and for everyone gathered on the Awakening Together radio, and I'm so glad that we're all here. And I want all of us to join in our true genius, you know, that's never prideful, it's always inclusive, and it always feels good for everyone. That I can take part in the genius that Lynn has, that Sonia has, that Carrie has, that Joanne has, that Ken has, that Regis has, that Nancy has. And that genius is my genius. Her great insight is my great insight. It's the same. No one's better than me. I'm not better than you. We can like joy together in something somebody comes up with. I can own it. It's mine too. And that's the sharing that the love has, the extending. And pride always puts up a wall. Pride is always separating. And so, those judgments that we set up in our mind as Easter eggs, little rotten Easter eggs that are just waiting to bust open that, bust apart our little, temporarily, thankfully, that sense of love and peace we have. Let's just recognize those are moments, nothing more than we've become prideful. That's it. We've set up judgments of some kind in our mind that are just acting as that very temporary separation. Let's give those to the fire of purification, recognizing that the true intelligence is that we're enlightened, we're together, that the greatest pride is the pride in all. And that really isn't pride. That's love. And so with that wonderful little message, let's all now go into a moment of contemplation. And we can take also this time to donate if you want to donate to Awakening Together. We do operate off of donations, so if you feel so guided, please do so. And Barb, or actually Lynn, can put up a link. And I'll turn it back over to Lynn, and she can play our contemplation song. That was an awesome song. Thanks. So we're moving into the sharing time, and I'd like to hear what was stimulated in some people today. It sounds like a few people had a few movements in their mind. I don't know, maybe if Nancy or Roy, you would like to speak, or CK Love, or Ken, anybody wanted to take the mic and share any thoughts, I'd appreciate it. Nancy, okay, your mic.
Thank you, Jay. It was beautiful. And the genius just is so shared that, of course, it dovetails, so to speak, with exactly where I am right now, where I find myself. I talk with Myron quite a bit, and as I come across events in my life that I think, like, wait a minute, this is not supposed to be, we talk about it, and I find that it is so helpful. And then everything that I come across, my NTI reading, the daily lesson, the A Course of Love, which I'm reading right now, it all works together to reinforce the truth, which, you know, the truth doesn't need reinforcing, just my acceptance of it, you know, sometimes does. And I find it easier and easier to say, ah, yes. You know, like in my case, I was, I've had a boss at my work for 10 years that is wonderful. We get along great and have a great relationship. And then the corporate structure in the global firm that I belong to, the corporate structure changed, and they hired a global chief of human resources, of which I'm a part. And he restructured the whole thing. And I got a new boss. And the new boss is in my office, not in another office in my company, but in my office. She's about 25 years younger than me. She has more experience. She has actually more more learning than I do, you know, and everything that was already pure genius, in which I, even the reason why I have the job I do, which there's no like earthly reason that you could point to, but that I've had for 28 years, and now all of this shift. And so Myron and I actually had a chance to end up laughing about it, and what she said, which kind of ties into what you said, Jay, that I actually had to change the entire corporate structure of the global firm that I belong to in order to get my next lesson. You know, and when I look at it like that, you know, it's the lesson is you know, it does become one of those things that says to me, you know, what would you not accept? What would you not accept if you but knew? And the thing is that we do know. You know, it is only the ego, when I identify with that, you know, with that ignorant thought system that is doesn't know anything. How do I know what my boss, who my boss should be? You know, am I there to have, you know, a certain boss, or am I there to fulfill my function? And this is a perfect setup for me to fulfill my function, which is forgiveness, which is happiness, which is salvation, which is all of these things. And I am really so grateful, and now can laugh at it and look forward to the lessons that I'm sure are to come. But really, what is my purpose? Is it to be, you know, whatever my job title is, or is it to realize, you know, who I really am and who she is? Part of my problem, or probably the only problem, was that I was separating myself from this new boss. I was pushing her away. And since we know that, you know, love is one, the function of love is one. Nothing can be pushed away. You know, you all here, you know, my brothers and sisters, may be easy for me to embrace,
and see that we are one. But what of this person that, you know, and she wants to control me. You shall not be the boss of me. All of these things, all of this pushing away. And all I had to do is just lay down my arms and look at the thought system that I had chosen in the past, had believed in the past, and I am only just given another chance to choose again. Yeah, you're not the boss of me. Ah, yes. Well, we shall see. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the reinforcement of the truth that love is one. Thank you.
No, that's beautiful, Nancy. I feel like you could have given this gathering on the same exact topic today. yeah, CK Love, your mic.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you, Jay, Lynn, for sharing. Beautiful, beautiful. What, good morning. What a beautiful sharing this morning. It just went right into my heart. And, you know, in that John Denver song, in the sweet, sweet surrender, in that surrender, just surrendering all to God, to the Holy Spirit, I am given a new way to live and a new way of listening and connecting to my own true self, to the presence of God that is within me. And I am given another way of looking at everything. Morning, Dove. Good morning, and God bless you and Suzanne and my... I send you all just beams of love and light. We're like that light, the sparkles of light on the water, like that song. And what a relief it is just to let it go and let it be and ask for a different way to, you know, to see. Wow, that even rhymes. But anyway, God bless each and every one of you. So it's in... For me, it's in that surrender to the Holy Spirit that I am just like you, too, with that book, you know, pulling out the book or praying before I read any book. What am I to do? You know, what am I to share? And it's just, I'm so grateful to God that He's just guiding me and working in my life. And I just need to be still and listen to the truth. God bless you.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Christina. I love to hear your voice and your devotion that just always streams through you. It brings me to a wonderful space just to hear you. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Just I can feel it, the energy from you when you speak. But yes, I hear what the point of what you're saying. It's absolutely true, absolutely beautiful. Kathy, your mic. No, I was all excited to hear what Kathy was wanting to say. Oh, she has problems with her computer. Okay, well, it was not meant to be. She's back. Okay, Kathy, if you can hear me, I'm turning the mic to you.
Kathy, can you pick up the mic? Okay, so no one can hear her, so she's going to go out and come back in. This happens quite a bit. And thank God we're making a change. Jay, here's the mic back.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I'm grateful for Lynn's wonderful efforts to explore alternate platforms, and I feel like I feel good about it. I feel like there's a real neat thing that's going to develop from this new platform that we moved to. Ken or Rebecca, would you like to share anything? Or Barb or Sarah, Roy, Lynn, your mic.
Okay, and there again, Kathy has come in and gone out. So, interesting. You know, and it's funny. For me, if I start to read something, and if it's not for me, my eyes go cross immediately. I have to stop. So I always know what I should and shouldn't be doing by exactly how I feel. Exactly how I feel. It is just so clear now that, you know, the guidance, the spirit, you know, is just telling me what, you know, all the time. But it's funny when you were talking about the Minecraft, the world destroyed, and, you know, who among us have not lost something that we thought was significant in the not saving or saving or system going down, the world corrupted and deleted. Yeah, exactly. You know, how many of us have experienced that? You know, I personally had a research paper, like a term paper, completely disappear on me. This was back in the days of DOS. Remember that, DOS? we didn't have Windows and stuff. And I had to recreate the entire, I didn't even have the internet to do research or anything, but I had to recreate the entire paper. But you know what happened when I did that was that because I had already written it and already had the everything I knew about it, as I rewrote it, it was clearer and more concise. And actually was much, much better paper than it would have been originally. The same thing happens when we have to redo something that we, you know, anything that we have thought. In fact, my husband had a situation where he had written some kind of a program. He does programming. He had written some kind of a program and had just made some changes to it and was just getting ready to save it. And they were doing electrical work at his office, and he had told the secretary that he would be done at a certain time. And so when it came that certain time, the secretary just went to the electrical guys and said, okay, go ahead and shut off the power. And it was right when he was saving this months of work. And it corrupted the entire thing, and he had to start all over again. And he was so angry with her. And, you know, this is the funny thing. He was so mad at her. And, you know, he just, oh, my God, you know, she was the most hated person on the planet. And, and you know, she was such a sweet girl, and I really did like her a lot. And so, you know, just after, you know, he was just fuming and fuming and fuming about her and, you know, how stupid she was and, you know, for a long time. And finally I just said to him, you know, it would be better if you would just forgive her. It would be better if you would be so much happier if you would just forgive her. You know, just recognize she made a mistake and, you know, she doesn't deserve that kind of anger. You know, really, honestly, you should just forgive her. And so, you know, he took my words, I guess, you know, I don't know. But he did. He went and forgave her. And guess what? That's the girl he fell in love with. You know, he forgave her. He opened his heart to her and he fell in love with her. Why would I be surprised about that? You know, I'm not surprised about that at all. That's what it is. You know, this hatred that is turned through forgiveness into love. You know, it is a good story, and we all made our mistakes and had our problems with all that too, but it's all the forgiveness that is the true genius that changes the story, that gives us a better story. As long as we're here in this world and we believe we're here, it just makes it a happier dream, a happier story. Sooner or later we'll quit trying to make those worlds and move on to our own reality. So Jay, here's the mic back.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story you shared about, especially about how forgiveness led to falling in love, and the thought about the most sacred place in the universe is where an ancient enemy has become a present love. And the thought that I had from today's service that I really experienced and really walk away with is the discipline and the practice of my morning meditations and contemplations and readings and spiritual work is so key, because those daily reminders are so important to me to keep my consciousness awake so I can remember. Because it's the very consciousness that catches thoughts that would turn into Easter eggs and setups for failure, such as when I'm creating a program, staying centered in the moment, and letting the expectations go, letting the judgments go, just being in the moment, so that when it does get erased, I don't actually have a loss of peace. It's the preemptive strike of not judging and keeping that mind present throughout the day, and that's what makes a tangible difference in the quality of my life and in the demonstration of God's love in the being of my life. Now, of course, as we go through doing that, we could call that the process of purification, right? Because these things are going to come up, sometimes repeatedly, in certain areas of our life. Some areas we seem to be what we call areas, I say judgments or beliefs, more difficult to let go of, others easier to let go of, depending on how much of our identity we've placed in them. If I believe I'm an intelligent person and that's the whole source of my entire personality, then for me to release my attachments off of making intelligent statements and looking intelligent and sounding intelligent are going to be more difficult than, say, me trying to come off like I'm a good cook, because maybe I never thought I was a good cook, and I don't really care if people think I'm a good cook or not. And someone could say, you suck as a cook, and I'm like, well, I don't care, whatever. it doesn't affect me at all, because it has nothing to do with the beliefs I hold about myself. So the process of purification is in letting go of that false self, in letting go of those judgments so that I can experience that love. And that's really the whole key. The process of purification, letting go of the personal self, the false self, the self that thinks it's the genius, that thinks it's the one that caused all these great things to happen. That's the process of purification. That's the process of return to love. That's the process of waking up to what's already there, of recognizing enlightenment. Enlightenment is but a recognition. The atonement is but a recognition. So all its ending of the smoke and mirrors of the parentheses in eternity, the inserting of the correction inside of the illusion. So that's really all we're doing here. These beliefs are what we have as the false self. And on that note, I'm turning it over to Kathy. And on that note, Kathy has left. Back off to you, Dove.
Well, I guess it's perfect that Kathy left. So I did want to say to you during this hour of power that you were surely and certainly so inspiring to me. Thank you so much, Jay. It's so obvious that your experience of going through this was so helpful, and your willingness to share it, I think, is so helpful to all. I love that part when you say, wait a minute, you know, how is it possible that just when I'm about to back it up, this thing happens? And those things happen to me so often, and I always laugh, you know, there's never an accident here in God's divine plan for salvation. It's never an accident. And when those things happen, it's always giving us an opportunity to either react like our personality, our personal false self, will always react and say, why is this happening to me? Or just be our loving self, our aware self, and just smile and laugh, and in our gentle laughter, it is healed. Yes. Thank you so much, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Dev. I'm going to patch in Kathy here. I know it's 10:30. I'm just going to take an extra minute or two here and patch Kathy in. Just hold tight here, everybody. I'm a technical genius with Skype. See, that's where my genius is. Is that pride coming back? I'm so cool because I can patch people in on Skype. Let's see here. We have the whole hour. So 7:14. I've got to go make crepes this morning. Speaking of cooking and developing a new identity as a good cook, I am going to go get Gabby and her son August, and I'm going to make them wonderful strawberry crepes. Yum.
Hello.
Kathy, it's Jay.
Jay, how are you?
Great. See, you can't escape the room. It calls you. It follows you. It finds you. See, you can't really...
That's fine.
You are destined to share. Patched in on Skype. You're actually... Everything you're saying now is live in the room. We can all hear you.
Oh, terrific. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what goes on with my Mac system. Sometimes it works perfectly. Sometimes it does not. And so today, it's every time I try to take the mic, it just simply knocks me out of the room and... I come back in and don't hear a thing. So, okay. I totally enjoyed everyone's sharing today. And I guess, Nancy, something I literally was physically experiencing, I felt my heart pounding as you were sharing, and it was an opportunity for reflection at the same time you were speaking. I was noticing fear. I was noticing just observing how, as I have, you know, certainly aged in my life to the tender age of 59 at this point, and putting myself possibly in your space in a work situation where, you know, you now are seemingly reporting to someone 25 years your junior, and just the whole idea that came to me surrounding all of that sharing was how conditional my comfort, how conditional my peace is, that if things stay the way that I'm, where my comfort zone is, in a familiar way, something that's not, you know, too much of a jar to my habitual, you know, road, I seem to be able to maintain some semblance of peace. And oftentimes when at least I experience the bumps in the road, if you want to call it that, the opportunities to look at how conditional my peace is, to realize that I still believe that unless this and this and this and this lines up and stays that way, I'll be okay. And so as you were sharing that, I was just trying to be honest with myself, noticing what was coming up, and literally my heart was pounding. Certainly I've looked recently, you know, during what I call, you know, this transition of moving through my life and getting older and noticing changes in whether it's physical beauty or strength or agility or whatever it might be, you know, the failing of the body idea, that has also caused me to reflect at how, again, conditional my peace is and how I still very much believe in this idea of myself as a body and what can that bring to me and who is the me that I'm asking this body to bring something to. So all of these things are, you know, opportunities to look within, and so I wanted to thank you for sharing that and allowing me to notice within myself lots of things for contemplation today. So I appreciate that, and thanks for letting me share, Jay. Everybody working together is a good thing. And I don't know how it's going to work for my time later on today. I'm hoping that I can just dial in with the Mac and it'll be great. But otherwise, Linnea, I may have to have you call me. So we'll work it out when the time comes. And thanks a lot, guys. I enjoyed sharing with all of you today. My dog's given me the business. It's time for a treat for him. So I will let you go. Thanks.
Bye, Kathy. Good to hear you.
Right. Bye-bye. Okay.
Wow, that was cool. You know, I was thinking, like this whole idea of the people younger than you. You know, I am working from home office in a salaried position, but I did put my resume out because I wanted to just see what other options that were out there, and I actually got an in-person interview with Federal Home Loan Bank downtown. And interviewed with 5 different people. They really loved me. They got a few more interviews, but I think they really would have hired me. But the first, actually, 3 of them were younger than me, right, interviewing me. Very, very intelligent guys, very sharp kids. And it's interesting because I actually didn't have a problem with it. I guess my philosophy in life is that... Yeah, I kind of was observing if I was going to feel like I had a problem with it. I'm not sure if I wouldn't say they were disrespectful at all. They were definitely. I mean, they all realized I'm older than they were. I mean, I give them credit for having the balls to sort of be an interviewer of somebody older than them. I'm sure that's not probably an easy thing to do. I would feel maybe a little intimidated, perhaps, but. This one kid was, I could tell he researched on Wikipedia, like, what good, interview questions to ask. He put me in these hypothetical scenarios and asked me what I'd do and stuff, and it was really funny. I'll go into that some other time, but I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed, it's like I was with a younger brother or something. Like, you know, it was like I didn't... Like, nothing, what I realized, like, in listening to you, Nancy, too, and also in my experience of being interviewed just the other day by, you know, 3 different guys that were younger than me, actually, the 2 women were older than me, and the 3 dudes that interviewed me were younger than me, I'm in my mid-40s, and these women were in their 50s, or maybe late 50s, early 60s, what's interesting is... The way I look at people, especially like a younger generation, is that, you know, there's something I could learn from somebody that has something, you know, to give. Like, I could learn something from them. Like, I guess I'm grateful that I could see that could be potentially a big area where there could be a lot of forgiveness there, right? If I'm put a lot of eggs in the pride basket of my age, I suppose I will truly know that if I feel truly disrespected by somebody younger than me. I suppose that would really put it to the true test now, wouldn't it? Now that I've said that, of course, that's going to happen probably in the next week. I get what you're saying about the age thing and people smarter than you that are younger than you and this sort of thing. And what was it, the boxer, you know, there's always some better fighter that's going to beat you. Somebody ended up beating Muhammad Ali. The greatest, most genius chess player is always going to end up getting beaten someday. You know, you're never the best at anything. And it's funny because when we're talking about these setups for future interruption of our feeling of love and suffering, is every time, like when I was younger, all of my thoughts about how I'm awesome because I'm young and I'm so cool because I'm young and look at these synthetic old people, or whatever this racist, ageist consciousness that most young people have in this country, particularly because of how our media promotes as a virtue youth and as a detriment age. That's just a particular cultural setup that the media promotes consciously and unconsciously that infiltrates. All of those things are Easter eggs. I think the real truth of it is we are more like cheese and wine that grow better with age. But all of those things are Easter eggs. Those are all little setups. Every little thought I have at age 20, 18, 25 that I'm awesome and cool because I'm young, all of those thoughts are stacking up future suffering, right? Because I'm now destined to experience a loss of that, and I will then get older, and my body, mind will get older, seemingly, and then I'm going to feel that it's terrible. That this is happening, that I'm losing all these things that are wonderful. So instead of losing our peace and feeling of love, let's commit to losing the belief, right, that being young is something good in some kind of way, or that being older is something good either. To be honest with you, both can get you into just as much loss of peace and connection and love as any other could. Because you could get then prideful in your age and lose a lot of peace that way too. So it's really in letting go of the false self, letting go of those beliefs. So how are we going to use our lives? Are we going to use the reactions and losses of peace in our life as an alert mechanism for us to become awake and conscious of these false beliefs that we're holding that are propping up the false interruption of eternity that is the smoke and mirror that we call our personality? Or are we going to use them to then become conscious of these false beliefs and proceed to just surrender them? Proceed to let them go. Confront my ideas about age. Confront my ideas about what it is. Because I've already confronted my ideas about age and gotten rid of most of them. I'm actually very grateful that I can feel peaceful and relaxed and have fun with people that are younger than me, that are smarter than me. I'm actually really grateful that I can be in that space because I have worked with that and let it go. And I'm experiencing the great result of being around people that are smarter than I was at that age, and more intelligent in other ways than I am even right now, and still just laugh and have fun with those people and not feel the slightest bit of anything negative. That still doesn't change the fact that I'm older than them. That still doesn't change the fact that there's some areas of wisdom that I have that they don't. Of course that's the case. You know, and for me, when I have that natural ease, what I find is that that people do come around and ask for advice or say things, because now they feel like I'm not trying to act like an adult that knows more than them and they're young. They drop their combative attitude towards me, and then we're all like getting along really well, and it's a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of really great work we can all do there with that as we get older, for sure, in letting go of those false self-beliefs. So I'm actually going to get off the mic here and go make crepes.